Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. You're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. Tonight's show is focused around an interview feature from Canada's own Fred Everything. He played here in Vancouver last night, actually, at Open Studios. I thought it was Friday. Saturday night at Open Studios. I was fortunate to be able to speak to him in advance of this gig. Really nice guy, really forthcoming, and really honest in the interview. Full track list, along with a big collection of Fred Everything web links, can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this first part of the interview, and I will be back in a little bit.
Speaking to Canadian producer and Lazy Days Date label boss, Fred Everything. Veteran of the Montreal club and warehouse scene, he's been producing and DJing since the 90s and continues to do so to this day. He's played a list of enviable gigs, Ministry of Sound, Cream, and Fabric, just to name a few. He's been released on a number of iconic labels, Soma, Ohm, Buzz and Fly, and Strictly Rhythm, amongst others. He's been praised for the quality of his mixes and his commitment to real underground house music. It's my pleasure to be speaking with him. This is Fred Everything. So to begin with, how do you define your sound?
It's always hard for someone to, you know, describe their own music. It's definitely, in the sort of deep house world, I guess. I like textures a lot, using a lot of analog synths and layering things. The sonic elements are definitely a big part of my sound. But then, you know, I also flirt with disco, down-tempo, sometimes, you know, some dub technique influence, and across the board, really.
Is there anything about life and growing up in Quebec initially that inspired you to produce this type of music?
Funny, we've been talking about this a lot with some friends. Small city versus big city. Like if you look at England, for example, some of the best music that's come out of the small cities and like the movements, you know, like I'm thinking just like a city like Sheffield, for example, gave birth to Warp, which is one of the biggest and long-lasting independent electronic music label, which was also an influence for me at the very beginning. And I think Quebec City kind of had that. It's almost like maybe there was not that much to do, so people turned to music and to their machines and all that. And there was already some people in Quebec City that were making electronic music at the time. So I also got access to that, to see this firsthand and starting to understand, you know, what it took to make music and what I needed as far as equipment. So I've been collecting instruments from the age of about 14 or 15. Yeah, the scene in Quebec City was small, but there were some people who had access to that knowledge, and I was able to experience it firsthand.
Can you tell me about a time you realized this was just more than a hobby, or was moving on from being just a hobby to moving into something you could actually do as a career?
Well, it was always the goal. That was always the goal. What happened is that I was making music first, and so I was started playing live. Well, first of all, I did, you know, during school, I did a few kind of band project, one in particular, and it was just mostly like based around me because I was the only one of my friends who was really, you know, able to do something, play an instrument, and I was writing songs, lyrics, melodies, and so I tried to team up with a few people, but they were basically my friends who were able to buy the instruments but not really able to play them.
Okay.
So it was very difficult. I mean, not that I was really able to, but I was able to put songs together and tracks and whatnot. So I ended up becoming the singer of the band as well, which is quite tragic, but because I was the only one who could really come up with the right, I knew what the melody was, and nobody could really learn it, and I couldn't teach it. So I did that, then I started playing in raves, and I was involved in some of the first, you know, raves in Quebec City and in Montreal, and I was taking, it was basically like a backing tape, and I had like a 909 and a 101 that I would travel with. I think maybe when I started to DJ, which came after that, like in the early 90s. Well, I got a job at a kind of more of a top 40 club, but back then top 40 meant I guess more like it was a student bar, really. I had to play, like, you know, a wide range of music. From that moment on, I was only living from music. So apart from, you know, really early jobs, washing dishes for a summer or something like that, working in the kitchen, you know, from a very early adult age, I've always, music has been my only thing, really.
Thank you.
When you are DJing now, DJing live, what performance setup do you use?
Oh, very simple. Just 3 CDJ, 2000, and Pioneer mixer. Become the very standard, you know, everywhere pretty much.
When you are producing, let's jump to the production side of things. Which DAW do you produce with?
Mostly Logic. I learned from, didn't learn to make music with Cubase, but Cubase was the first thing that I... The first software sequencer that I use, so it kind of more of a timeline. I do use Ableton sometimes, but Logic is just, you know, it's like second language for me.
Okay.
Come down.
Let's hop over to your record label. What is the musical policy for your label, Lazy Days?
I don't know what it is. I really, like, when I hear something, I know instantly, kind of like the same way that I shop for music or listen to promos also. It's like, there shouldn't be any, like, hesitation, you know. If I'm buying something, for example, and I'm not sure about it, I'm pretty sure that it'll never get played just because, yeah, it's something very instinctive. I mean, of course, you know, there's the odd time where you miss a track and you didn't pay attention to it enough or something like that, didn't listen to it long enough. But yeah, in general, it has to be quite instinctive, and that would be the only thing. And it's, I mean, it's a label, it's like an extension of what I do as a DJ and as a producer. I guess it's somewhere in between, you know.
To see you.
Okay, so over the years, you've produced four albums, including your most recent one, Long Way Home, that came out earlier this year. How does your approach to making an album differ from when you're just producing tracks?
Singles or EPs are like short stories, and an album's like a novel. So you have to have some sort of a narrative to it. You put yourself in a creative zone, start making some tracks that maybe you wouldn't consider it as like singles. And then you get into that zone, like that's what I did for the last album. And I just, you know, intentionally wanting to change things up a little bit and switch the tempo and then get into that mode. And then eventually, like, things kind of come together. And then you realize you're sitting on, you know, I don't know, 6-7 tracks that sort of have a similar vibe in a way, and then you can continue, you know, to build on that, and then that's when like you get also like, you know, people involved, you know, collaborators, singers, musicians, all that.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
This is Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Y. You're listening to an interview and track retrospective with Fred Everything. Full track list and a collection of Fred Everything web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Here's the second half of the interview. Enjoy this.
When you are working with a vocalist, how do you collaborate with them? Like, do you present them with the lyrics you want, or you present them with the music and they make the lyrics? How does all that work for you?
It changes. There is a few ways that I do like to work with people. You know, I haven't written lyrics in quite a long time, so they do that. So I've recorded people in my house, for example, but a lot of time, because those people are far away, ends up being sometimes a bit of a blind collaboration, where like I send a track and then they'll send me like a rough idea, and it's usually good. so yeah, and then they re-record it. I give them a little direction, and then I work with their parts, and then I try to fit it into, you know, what I have, basically.
Over your career, you produced a number of tracks. Can you tell me one or two that you're most proud of producing?
It's a remix that I've always really enjoyed working on, because it's a track by Brand Van 3000 featuring Curtis Mayfield called Astounded. Brand Van 3000 are from Montreal, and they had access to this unreleased Curtis Mayfield song, Vocal, and they did a track with it, and it was just before he died. And then when I got to work on this project, he had just passed, and I was a big fan, so it was almost like, you know, working with, you know, like the ghost of Curtis Mayfield in the studio. And I really took a lot of time and put a lot of love, you know, in making this, you know, as good as I could. And looking back, you know, even if it's older, like, it's still something that I'm proud of.
Let the morning come, bring the light of day. Let the morning. Day. Bring the light of day.
over your career, are there any countries or specific clubs or events that you played at that you look back on and you really, really enjoyed playing?
Yeah, I mean, but there's many countries that, you know, just amazing to visit as well, just let alone, like, you know, playing in a club, but, like, you know, like Tokyo, for example, that's quite an amazing city. Or, you know, South Africa. I have a lot of fans in South Africa. So the last time that I played there, it was the craziest party that I've ever played at. I was on a rooftop in Johannesburg, and there was a storm. There was a tent, so, you know, people were protected, but everyone came under the tent, obviously, and my feet were soaked in water. There were, like, cables around, so I don't know, like, how, like, nobody died, and then yeah. the back was, like, you know, like, lightning, but the reaction of people, it was crazy. They were sort of, like, all, like, leaned on the DJ booth, too, so it kept, like, DJ booth kept moving, and there. They were chanting, and it was like one of the, I don't play my music a lot as DJ, and there it's like I had like a special folder of the songs that I know they like there, and I ended up, I had to play my own music, basically. That's when I was getting like a big reaction. They know the lyrics and everything anyway, so that's one of them. Definitely fond of a certain time when I used to go to England a lot, even lived there for a little bit in London, clubs like Fabric, obviously, Back to Basics in Leeds at the time, you know, these were definitely great, you know, for me, like a very formative years. The Sub Club in Glasgow, Plastic People in London. Yeah, these were very, very instrumental in sort of forging, you know, what I'm doing.
Can you tell me one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
Oh, sure. Ad Jazz would be one of them. And he's also like a very close friend of mine for over 20 years. So I love his production. And yeah, we collaborated a lot and we always changed favors. As a person, as producer, we talk a lot and we exchange ideas. So that would be definitely someone. And another one who I'm not as close, but also that I can call a friend is Jimster from also from England, from Free Range. Also quite an inspiration as a producer, as a record label owner. He has two great labels, quite a great DJ as well. We got a chance to play together recently in LA, and we had a little back-to-back session after as well, so that was really nice. Yeah, that would be, you know, two of them that are really close to my heart for sure.
You make me feel right, like I want to.
We'll be playing here in Vancouver at Open Studios on Saturday, September the 29th. What can club goers expect from your set that night?
Hard to say again. I never quite know myself. Well, I'm playing 3 hours. So, you know, usually most club sets are 2 hours. So that extra hour is quite nice. It goes by fast anyways. But a little bit of everything, like, staying in the house world for sure. But I think I definitely like to inject a few different flavors.
Final question here. What is your vision for the future of yourself production wise and also in DJing?
My vision is just keep doing what I'm doing. I think every year that I can keep making a living out of what I do is pretty amazing. And so first and foremost, on the practical side, I hope that I can continue this, for as long as I can. Creatively, I want to keep making albums. I took a bit of a break on that, so I want to get back into that. And I have a few separate projects, like I have a different alias as well that I use for some, like a little bit more electronic and ambient stuff that I make. I want to continue that as well. And as far as DJing, when I play in Mallorca, for example, I get to do this thing on the beach where I can really play like open format, more like Balearic, which I also did in Bali last week, where I played basically for like sunset sessions. So it's not even like, not even a dance floor set. You actually play for people watching the sunset. Wow. And it's quite interesting, yeah, because you can play all sorts of music that, you know, the, like all my favorites. I get to really dig into my collection outside of house, and then I'll play a little bit of house. I really, really enjoy that. It's more challenging, but yeah, it's really rewarding.
This has been Fred Everything. A selection of Fred Everything tracks can be found on Beatport, iTunes, and Juno Download, and a full list of Fred Everything and Lazy Days web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
I call it transcendence. Transcendence. I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
You have been listening to Techno Progressivo's interview with Fred Everything. If you enjoyed what you've heard, you can check it out in podcast form, both on iTunes or at CITR.ca. You can also check out the full list of Fred Everything web links on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Thanks to Fred Everything for making himself available for this. Up next is Transcendence with Smiley Mike. Check that out for all things trance. And thanks for listening, and I will be back here again in a couple of weeks.